May it be that God will give us a time of lasting blessing. Whenever God is going to bless, He always sets His people apraise. Would you allow me to repeat that? Whenever God is going to bless, He always sets His people apraise. Now let's come to these 7 o'clock prayer meetings. I think tomorrow morning, is that right? Some can only stay 10 minutes, but let's lay hold on God, that we might see this rain in the realm of the Spirit. Be lovely to see the floodgates open, wouldn't it? Tonight the subject is spiritual readiness for God's blessing. Shall we turn to Luke 5? And we'll read from verse 1. Luke 5, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Just two things about those two verses. The miracles of Christ were wrought for a threefold reason. Number one, to relieve the afflicted from their pain and sickness. Two, to teach us by the performing of a miracle that the person who performed it was the Son of God. Three, to teach us through a miracle a deep spiritual lesson. We are material people, and we live in a material world, and we understand things materially. Therefore, many of the miracles of our Lord were even spiritualized by our Lord. Just before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Do you believe this? Again, if you look at the miracles, you will notice that they were performed in three realms. There are miracles that relate to the earth, there are miracles that relate to the sea, and there are miracles that relate to the heavens. Now why? To show us that the Lord is the Lord over the whole earth, He is the Lord over the whole sea, and He is the Lord over the air. Sovereign Lord, the great Creator. In this miracle, the Lord Himself spiritualizes it. He says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now this is lovely. They were catching live fish for the purpose of killing. He says, you're going to catch dead fish for the purpose of living. A much better occupation, isn't it? So you can see, we're in for a good time tonight. Now, when you read these first two verses, you have one or two remarkable statements. The people pressed upon him. You will never find that in the Old Testament. Whenever you find the Lord God, there is always a distance between God and the people. You remember when the Lord was upon the holy mount at Sinai, he said, come not near. Even if an animal touched the ark, it had to be put to death. Again, you remember when the tabernacle was built, there was a division between the holiest and the holy place. The priest could come into the holy place, but never into the holiest of all. But when the Lord Jesus came into the world, this is what we find. the people rest upon him. Now why? Right at the beginning of John's Gospel, and John the Baptist is the preacher, he had the joy of introducing the Lord Jesus to the world. How did he introduce him? Behold your king. Behold the branch. Behold the prince. Not a bit of it. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, in view of the cross ever before him, now the people can press upon him. Now, why? The Lord Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, grip that. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that loses his life shall keep it unto life eternal or everlasting. And that simply means this. All that you spend on yourself selfishly at the judgment seat of Christ will be burnt up and you will say hallelujah to that. And all that you spend for God and for eternity, he will reward. In that chapter, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now note, and I, if I be lifted up, meaning on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. And in view of the cross, and only in view of the cross, the people press upon him. Now why? When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he was not only on the cross to die for the sins of the world. Please grip this. He was dying on the cross for the glory of God. That meant he was dying on the cross to maintain righteousness. And that means, when he died upon the cross, he met all the righteous claims of God so that God could be just and the justifier of them that believe in the law. And that is why the people can press upon him. Isn't that lovely? In the Old Testament, come not near. In the New Testament, there's a divine induction that draws people, and that's the cross of Christ. Let's pray that this building and other places that we use may be an induction to Christ. Quite frankly, we don't want men, they're useless concerning the problem today. There's only one person that can really satisfy the heart, and that's the Lord Jesus. And let's pray that we shall see people being drawn, inducted to the Lord, and the Lord only get all the glory and the praise. Secondly, we find that he preached the word. Now, I love that. In John 2, he wouldn't commit himself to the people. Now, why? Great crowds were following, but he wouldn't commit himself. He knew that they were out for the spectacular. They wanted to see some spiritual fireworks, like miracles. But here, his preaching, and I love this, the Word of God. Now, of course, the Bible came from him. He knew all about it. He guided all those authors in the Old Testament in their writings. And now here's the author among us. And he's going to explain the word of the Lord. And the people came because they were attracted to the word. Now, let's pray that sensationalism may go out of the window. That makes us up and down, Christians. Let's pray that people will be drawn, whether it's in the hotel or whether it's in the home, by the word of God. May it ring out in mighty power, and then there will be lasting blessing. Never get tired of the word of God. Never get tired of the gospel. Always be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, when we preach the word of God, always be sure that people understand what you're saying. Now, don't misunderstand me. The opening night. Don't preach the first century gospel to a 21st society in a 19th century way. They won't understand. We've got to remember that our people are totally in the dark concerning the gospel. The average person now doesn't know who God is. The average person has no idea what's in me. The average person doesn't know the Ten Commandments. The average person has no idea of eternity, heaven or hell. The average person has no idea about the deity of Christ. And certainly not his perfect humanity. Now let me get to this point. The average person hasn't got a clue why Christ died on the cross. Thirdly, and I believe this is vital, speaking about the Lord, the average person doesn't even know what the word resurrection. And when we talk about repentance, he hasn't got a clue. And when we talk about faith, he's in the dark. Now, can you see, we've got to learn to preach the first century gospel to a 21st society in a 21st way so that the average person can understand the word of God. But one more thing that's right. When the Lord spoke, there was power. Can I repeat that? When the Lord spoke, it wasn't a lecture. There was power. Mighty power. Brothers, we need that power. We need that power, as we shall see in a few moments, to bring to. We need that power to bring in divine enlightenment. And we need that power to bring about the great miracle of being born again. Now let's pray we shall see that power in the service. Have you ever been in a service where the presence and the power of God is so manifested that people cry out to be saved? When you hear that, you know God is there. Now, this is vital. Let's pray that we shall see a manifestation of his presence, a manifestation of his power. Now, make that clear. We want the pattern right of the gospel, and we want the power. The two must be brought together. Thirdly, I want you to know the pulpit was the hinder part of a boat. Now that's new. You say, why? It was in the Maccabean period that the Pharisees made a law saying that the fishing boat was unclean. You will never find that in the Old Testament. And therefore, the Lord Jesus went right against the Pharisaical tradition and he used a boat. There's something interesting about this boat. He said, thrust out a little. Only a little. Why? He wanted the crowds to hear. So pray that the preacher may not be a mumbler. You know, with such a soft voice, no one can hear him. When you preach, open your mouth and let the sound come out so that all can understand. Secondly, when preaching, be simple. Don't play about with long words. Don't uplift yourself. Uplift Christ. Don't try and be scientific. Many will hear who will know more about science than what the preacher does. But preach the word of God and depend upon that to bring the blessing, and he will. It was a boat. Beware of the holy huddle. You say, what do you mean by that? All the Christians coming together and singing their hearts out, Jesus saves, when there's no one there to be saved. They're all like fishing in the fried fish shop. Well caught and kippered. You see, we've got to get among the people. Now please grip this. As you know, the book of the Acts, I've already dealt with this with you the last time I was here. The Lord Jesus went up in chapter 1. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down. And chapter 3 to the end, the church went up. Let's get out right among the people, from door to door sometimes, sometimes in a home, sometimes in a school. Let's get out right among the people with the gospel, and we shall see the blessing. So we have the preacher, you have the preaching of the word, and the people drawing. And then you have the pulpit, taking the pulpit to the congregation. May God help us to do that. And thank God for that meeting in the restaurant and the meetings in the houses that we shall have. And may God bring his power and blessing. Now, let's look at verse 2 just here. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now let's get the facts right. They washed the net in order to get from the net, so the professionals tell me, the sea fleas. Did you know that the fish had fleas? And once these fleas got onto the net, they were destructive. And that's why they washed. But if you look at it carefully, they were washing to have another attempt. Why? Because they had toiled all night and caught nothing. The word toil is interesting. It means they lowered the net again and again and again and again and again and again, but they caught nothing. And because they had caught nothing, they were washing their net. Now, my dear friends, this is vital. I don't want to rub salt now tonight into an open wound. That wouldn't be helpful. But we have toiled for years and seen a very little. And we go on doing. Now what the Lord wants us to do is to say something like this. Why aren't we catching the fish? Why are we so barren? Now we've got to be honest about this. If we don't, the Lord's going to pass us by. Now they were washing their nets because they had caught nothing. They had one island called Navik. Now, there are three ways you can take barrenness. You can be absolutely apathetic. I like the Sunday night. I like singing Sankey's hymn. I like to hear the gospel. It doesn't matter if there's no bit. If you look at barrenness like that, the Lord will pass you by. Secondly, you can say prophetically, we're living in the Laodicean age. The Lord is coming. The love of many shall wax cold. We must go on preaching the gospel. Don't worry about results. Just let's be faithful. Now, my dear friends, even in the great tribulation, there's going to be a mighty revival. The nations that have not been poisoned by the beast will turn in their hundreds to Christ, and most of them will be put to death by martyrs. You read the Revelation. So that is our script. Now there are certain places, because they have been barren for years, that are coming together and humbling. They're washing the net. They're saying, why isn't the Lord blessing us? What's wrong with the 6:30 gospel? Are we to do something else? Now, this will surprise you. I knew W.W. Faraday, who came into fellowship in 1864. And he said, we used to break bread, and he lived to nearly 100. And after the breaking of bread, when many of us were broken by the love of God, we discussed what to do for evangelism. We didn't have 6:30 gospel meetings in those days. The Lord would lay upon our hearts very directly to hire a town hall or a theatre. They didn't have cinemas in those days. And we would hire them for a month. And sometimes over 1,000 people would be packed in. And one or two nights when God was really blessing, over 100 were saved. On a normal Sunday night, what were they doing? They were launching out. Now take, for instance, the assembly at Plymouth. You know how we got the name Plymouth Brethren, don't you? Well, after they broke bread, they would go all over Plymouth. Some of them walked 21 miles. That's why in Devon, a few years ago, there were assemblies in every village. And they would say, the people in those days, the brethren from Plymouth have come. And they would preach the gospel in the open air. And groups of people would be gathered together and the assembly started. Why? They were going out to the Now, I've been praying about Toowoomba. I believe with all my heart, after the way God has been dealing with Australia and Britain, that we could see a harvest. That we've got to get into our minds, not easy evangelism. We've got to be prepared. Now that's fine. But you say, what about this washing? Well, we must wash ourselves personally. All of us have sins which we call besetting. All of us. They grieve the Holy Spirit. And in my life, when I allow a besetting sin to reign, I feel it immediately in my preaching. And therefore, all of us have to get before God individually and say, Lord, search me. I mean it. You say, isn't that dangerous? Not a bit. We are told in the scripture before we break bread Sunday morning or Sunday evening, whenever the time, we should examine ourselves. Now, here it is. I know it's jagged. But if you come without examination, you're disobedient to the law. Every Sunday, we would search our hearts. Why? How can we take the bread that condemns Satan and the wine that speaks of his precious blood that condemns? For in the cross he bore the judgment for them all. And how can we condone it? Can you see the error? And that's why before we come, all of us should have an examination. But we pass that by, don't we? And therefore there comes a time when there's a seize up in the assembly and no one gets saved. And therefore, we need that time of washing individually. Now, thanks be to God, in the place where I've just come from, there has been great searching of heart. And God is preparing them for real things. Whenever that takes place, secondly, we must search our hearts as parents. Husbands and wives shouldn't be bickering. They should be in constant love. Where there's bickering, there's sin. And therefore our boys and girls should see that we love each other. There is a Christchurch relationship. And if there have been harsh words, the sister shouldn't come with a covered head. And the man shouldn't come with a bare head. How can he be showing the graces of the Lord when there's bickering? And how can she be showing her submission when there are fighting? You see, there must be unity. Thirdly, Christian children must obey their parents. Oh, you say that's old-fashioned. Doesn't matter. We are not concerned with the culture of the world. We are concerned with the culture of heaven. And there should be submission. Fourthly, we should go over our business. Is it straight? Is it honest? Is there something in my business life that's crooked? Am I totally straight with the income tax? Now this is vital. You see, we must be pure in our working day. It's vital. That's where we live, and that's where we live. And then look at the assembly. Now this is vital. Can I honestly look at every believer that breaks bread and shake their hands and show that I know? Is there an undercurrent? Recently, in a place where God was working in mighty power and still working, after an address like this, a number of people got on the phone. Could I come and see? And matters that were 10 years old were put right. No wonder we saw them. So that after the washing, we are ready for a time of preaching. Now why? We want to see again the presence and the power of God in the church. We don't want these superficial gospel meetings. We've had enough of it. We want to see meetings where people come under deep conviction. And people cry out for mercy. And we see it. And the awe of God fills the place. You see now, if we want that, there must be cleansing and purging. Now I think you've got that. And what was the reason? The moment they had washed their net, he gave them the orders. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let's read it. Now he entered into one of the boats, verse 3, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land, that's the pulpit, and he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. And when he had ceased preaching, oh, another thing I must mention, don't be too long. In gospel preaching, 30 minutes is enough. If you go on for an hour, unless the Spirit of God is leading, people can get bored. On one desk I noticed, and I thought it was very good, and I read it, and it says, if you don't find water after 30 minutes, please stop boring. Wasn't that good? And I got that from Australia. Now, that's vital. When he has left speaking, and notice what happens. When he has ceased speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now let's consider that. Launch out. First of all, there's a little thrust away from the land. Why? Because he wanted them all to hear the gospel. Now he says, I want distance. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You've been catching the fish there for years, but now you're catching them no more. Why? Shoals of fish move. I'm not only the Lord of the servants, I'm the Lord of the harvest. He knows where the fish are. So he says, now get out into the deep. That's why I want not just services held in the hall, I want services held in your home. And it's lovely to me to just sit down with about 10 people and quietly open the scriptures and see the Lord opening their hearts. We don't speak for a long while, just 10 minutes. And then there's questions. And that's when the Lord moves in his power. Now to me, that's a wonderful God. When we go into the restaurant, I just will give them Christianity without baggage. And I go right straight into the gospel. And it's amazing how people who are not familiar with church gatherings will listen. Let's pray that we might see God really moving. But here it is. Launch out into the deep. And if you go into the book of the Acts, you will find in 40 years, they had almost gone to the uttermost part of the earth for one more thing. Did you know in 1823, God brought a few people together like we are now? They wanted to be released from all the traditions of the church and they wanted to get back to the Word of God. And did you know that group of people in less than 3 generations touched the whole world? There are more assemblies outside of Britain now and Australia in various parts of the world because those men pioneered. They went out Many of them died on the mission field, but what a reward they're going to get. Now we need a new company of God's people called out from the holy huddle and now going out again to preach the word of God. And in the last days, or more, in the last seconds of the last days, we could see blessing. And they would see it here. I think we shall see blessing in these people. But distance and death. Launch out, now note the word, let down. You see, they were going to an area where it was quite shallow. Now, says the Lord, get away from the shores. Launch out and let down. Now, first of all, may I share this with you? We need to preach the full gospel and we don't need to be ashamed. We all know instinctively our number one problem is sin. We all know from facts, and we can marshal these facts, that sin is crippling our nation. It's got the nation by the throat and it's strangling it. We all know that God is not going to be satisfied by shaking hands with sinners. And we all know He's not going to allow sin to enter into heaven. We realize that we're not a biological jungle. That we're made in the image and in the likeness of God. Therefore, the soul of man is eternal. And if he dies in his sins, he is lost eternally. We all know that there was only one person that could put the world right, and that was God's Son. And we all know that the only way in which he could come into the world was by birth. But we also know that if man had an infringement in the birth, he couldn't claim sinlessness. So he loops the line. And in the womb of a woman was born a perfect child. And we all know that that child was Son of Man and Son of God. And on the cross before God, he grappled with the sin question by bearing its judgment. We all know that there's only one way to be right with God, and that is repentance and faith. And that faith means total commitment to the work of Christ. We all know that when you receive Christ, you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Now, all that has got to be put over in words that people can understand. Now, some in Holy Ghost meetings will get up and walk out. Do you know, it's wonderful to see. I remember there in Exmouth years ago when the Spirit of God was working in power. Two teachers in the teaching college there walked out in disgust and slammed the door. And some of the saints were sad. You were a bit harsh, Peter, tonight. Can't you soften it up? Soften it up. We had a quiet discussion. And then the door opened and these two ladies came back. Sorry we disturbed the service. We were so upset. But we're wrong. Could you lead us to Christ? Forgive me saying this. Hallelujah, they were born of God. And what a blessing they become. Now we've got to be prepared for that. When Peter preached the gospel, they didn't say, aren't you a lovely man? Aren't you a beautiful preacher? Not a bit of it. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He knew the answer. And you see, in real Holy Ghost meetings. That's what we see. And it doesn't stop people from coming. In fact, it brings more people when God begins to work in power. May we see it, not only in this hall, but in other places. Launch out into the deep and let down. Let's let it right down as deep as we can. You see, the fish are always at the bottom of the ocean. When the sun is actually on the water, it's a miracle that you can catch a fish. They go down and they lower their nets. And when they lowered their nets down, there was real depth. There was a great catch. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. Now, can't you see those men looking? Peter had said, in doubt, we've toiled all the night. Caught nothing. We're professional fishermen. We know what we're doing. But you have commanded and we're going to do it. Down it went. Right down. Right down. And when they went to pull it up, they thought they caught a rock. Pull harder. And when it came to the surface, it was wriggling with fish. What did they say? Haven't we done a wonderful thing? Not a bit of it. They were all broken. Now listen. If the Lord gives us a harvest, don't boast about it. Do you know what they're saying in the Times? These figures, evangelical. Do you know what that means? It's probably exaggerated. We mustn't do it. Don't boast about the blessing. Let the blessing speak for itself. Now that's vital. These men, when they caught all the fish, didn't parade it in the booklet. They were broken. Wouldn't it be lovely to see God breaking out in this building and all the saints broken? We've never seen this before, Lord. This is the deep work of God. We've been playing at it. We're awfully sorry. And God can give us a new start. Notice those words, and I think it's beautiful. I got a great blessing from this morning, reading it. And I think I ought to read it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke, and they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began. They weren't exclusive. Keep it to ourselves. You know the idea. Don't share it with any others. They called for their partners. Come and help us. We've got an overload. You see, when God blesses, He not only blesses us, but He blesses other people too. And then we read this, and I love it. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. Let's go on. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch me. In other words, when they were broken, he blessed them. Can I say that? When they were broken, he blessed them. And they left their nets and followed the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter let down the net, and there were 3,000 in it. And they all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Isn't that lovely? The next day, preaching right near the beautiful gate, 5,000 men believed, including some priests. And when they had a prayer meeting, they were all of one heart and one soul. Wouldn't you like to see that again? Thank God they left their net. They left their birth. And they went in for soul. And God gave them a harvest. May God give us a great harvest. And to him be all the glory.